Hello, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of My Hairiest Adventure by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am sitting in fucking traffic right now, and I'm like, I have to do the goddamn Comics Online podcast in like an hour and 45 minutes, and I'd like to get as much of this done as possible, so fuck it, I'm going to record the intro right now, that'll save me some sort of time. So, I've had a couple recording sessions since then, but I've been working on this Christmas present for the girlfriend's family, which is her... There's a book from the 1930s that for some reason is about her grandfather... when he's a four-year-old kid and his siblings and their life being traders on an Indian reservation, even though she's not Indian. So that book's obviously hard to get and very expensive because it's an obscure-ass book from the 30s. So I've been doing a like legit audio version of it. But I realize when I can't say cunt and drink and fuck things up and stumble, it takes for fucking ever. So it'd be about 4 hours to record an hour of actual usable audio. So it's a much bigger project than I thought it was. But tonight I'm going to try to get me some goosebumps done. That being said, I'm going to end this now because I don't know what's up. I have a feeling I'm going to be drinking Steel Reserve as it's sitting on the goddamn car seat next to me as I've been in traffic for the last hour and 20 minutes. Fucking San Diego in the rain. God damn it.
All right. So my commute that I was planning on taking half an hour took me a full hour and a half. And I'm supposed to record the Comics Online podcast now in 35 minutes. So I'm just fucking pissed off in the moment. I don't even know if I can be funny, and it's just frustrating. The same thing that happened last week, where I have almost no time. I devote it to, you know, I feel obligated to record the Comics Online podcast. I don't know why. last week, I had time I could have done this, and then the whole podcast started like an hour late, and I wasn't even funny on it. I'm just like I am right now, where I'm just too fucking pissed to be funny. Or interesting. I'm just like, really? I had one day I could have done stuff and someone's late, so I'm just fucked. So I'm just mad. I'm in a bad mood. Maybe I'll just be late. Alright, let me just like do like a monster frat guy chug of Steel Reserve and see if we can start this after 3 minutes of intro. Jesus, alright. Woo! Chapter number 15, yeah. Singing makes me feel good, people. Number 15. Yeah. How come you kept your jeans on in the gym? Jared asked. Huh? His question caught me by surprise. It was the next day, and we were walking along the slushy sidewalks, lugging our instruments to Lily's house for another band practice. Oh yeah, I forgot these douchebags were in some punk band. Then I wanted some rant about my boss's son having a punk band, and me having a punk band, and everyone having a punk band. Just like, it's gonna be funny. When people hit, like, 22 in, like, 3 years, you're gonna be able to essentially be like, oh, yeah, nice to meet you. And instead of, like, handing a business card, you'd be like, here's my album, you know, because everyone has a rap album, and here's a link to one of my four podcasts. This is my favorite one. I hate everyone, including myself. Especially myself. You refused to change into gym shorts, remember? Jared said, swinging his keyboard case at his side. I was just cold, I told him. My legs got cold, that's all. I don't know why Coach Rafferty gave me such a hard time. Jared laughed. Rafferty nearly swallowed his whistle when you sank that three-point jump shot from midcourt. I laughed, too. I was the worst shot in school. But I was so crazed about my hairy knees, so totally pumped that a player better than me, than I played better than I'd ever played in my life. Wait, he's pumped up because of his hairy knees? I got hairy knees. I'm not pumped up at all. I need to substitute my pump with chemicals. All right. Maybe you should wear jeans all the time, Coach Rafferty had joked. But, of course, it was no joke. Seriously, right now, I'm like, I'm sitting here. Franklin! I just yell at the dog for eating. He's just eating because the cats are close and they're playing and they're attacking each other. And they're just, oh my god, I'm so irritated. Hold up. I'm fucking so mad. Just mad at life. Mad at the traffic. Mad that I don't have any fucking time. I don't want to do anything. I hate everyone. Positive mental attitude.
I ran all the way home after school and spent nearly half an hour locked in the upstairs bathroom masturbating, or shaving the clumps of black hair off my knees. When I finally finished, that applies to either option, both knees were red and sore. Also could possibly apply, but at least they were smooth again. I spent the rest of the afternoon closed up in my room thinking hard about what was happening to me. Unfortunately, all I came up with were questions. Dozens of questions, but no fucking answers. Sprawled on my stomach on top of my bed, my knees throbbed as I thought. Why did my knees grow hair? I asked myself. I didn't spread any Instatan on my knees, so why did the ugly black hair sprout there? Had the Instatan worked itself into my system? Had the strange liquid seeped into my pores? Had it spread through my entire body? I feel like I asked myself the same question twice in different ways so R.L. Stine could fill in a word count. Was I going to turn into some kind of big hairy creature? Possibly Sam Squanch? Was it going to look like King Kong or something? Questions. Questions, but no answers. The question still troubled me as I crossed the street with Jared, and Lily's white frame house came into view on the corner. The sun beamed down above the two bare maple trees that leaned over Lily's driveway. The air felt warm, almost like spring. The snow had melted a lot in one day. Patches of wet grass poked up through the white. In the yard across the street from Lily's house, a half-melted snowman looked sad and droopy. My high top splashed through the slushy puddles as Jared and I carried our instruments up the driveway. Lily opened the door for us. She and Christina had already been practicing, because they need to practice twice as long because they're girls, am I right? Come on, you know all girl bands are bad. What hole? Hole was terrible. And didn't they have a dude in it because they couldn't even find four girls that could play an instrument? You can send your hate mail to Dune at DuneReadsGoosebumps.com, ladies. Lily was wearing bright red and blue ski sweater pulled down over pale blue leggings. Christina wore faded jeans and a green and gold Notre Dame shirt, or Notre Dame if you're a douchebag. Where's Manny? Lily asked, closing the front door behind Jared and me. I haven't seen him, I replied, scraping my wet sneakers in the floor mat. Isn't he here? He wasn't at school again today, Christina reported. Franklin, stop chewing on yourself. And I'm sorry I yelled at you earlier about eating. I feel really bad about that. I'll give you a T word later. We've got to get serious, Lily said, biting her lower lip. Did you talk to Howie today? Did he tell you what his dad bought him? A new synthesizer? I replied, bending to open my guitar case. Yeah, Howie told me all about it. He says it can sound like an entire orchestra. Who wants to sound like an entire orchestra? Jared asked. He had a wet leaf stuck to his shoe, kind of like the leaf on Totoro's head. Steel Reserve. When he pulled it off... Sorry, there's no when. He pulled it off, but then didn't know where to throw it away, so he jammed it in his jeans pocket. If Howie sounds like an orchestra, and we sound like three guitars and a kitty keyboard, we're in major trouble, Lily warned. It's not a kitty keyboard, Jared protested, thinking about how good Keyboard Cat would look playing it. I laughed. Just because you can wind a crank at the side of it doesn't make it a kitty keyboard. It's small, but it has all of the notes, Jared insisted. He set the keyboard on the coffee table and bent down to plug it in. Let's stop messing around and get to work, Christina said, moving her fingers over the frets of her shiny red Gibson. What song do you want to practice first? How can we practice without Manny? I asked. I mean, what's the point? I tried calling him, Lily said, but his phone is messed up or something. It didn't even ring. Let's go to his house and get him, I suggested. Yeah, good idea, Christina agreed way too enthusiastically. All four of us started for the front entryway to get our coats, but Lily stopped at the door. Larry and I will go in, she announced to Christina. You and Jared should stay and practice. Why should we all go? Speaking of grabbing your coats, I went to the gas station and there was a neck beard dude that was clearly into My Little Pony that was rocking the standard fedora, and I started mentally mocking him, and then I realized that I'm a 27-year-old man
wearing a My Chemical Romance hoodie, and then I hated myself, and then I, like, felt like I agreed with that guy for hating on me, even though him and I had no conversation whatsoever. I need to get a job where I talk to human beings, because, dear God, I just make up these strange scenarios in my head and go with them. Okay, Jared agreed quickly. Besides, someone should be here in case Manny shows up. With that settled, Lily and I pulled on our coats and headed out the front door. Lily's Doc Martens splashed through a wide puddle as we made our way along the sidewalk. I hate it when the snow gets all gray and slushy, she said. Listen, all you can hear is dripping. Water dripping from the trees, dripping from the houses. She stuck out her arm to block my path and stop me from walking! We listened in silence to the dripping sounds. It's deafening, isn't it? Lily asked, smiling. For our African-American listeners, it's deafening, isn't it? Lily asked, smiling. The sun reflected in her eyes. One blue eye, one green eye. Deafening, I repeated. Lily can be pretty weird sometimes. She told me that she writes poetry, long poems about nature, but she's never shown any of it to me. We trudged through the slush. The sun felt warm on my face. I unzipped my parka. Ooh, speaking of erotic poetry. Manny's house came into view as we turned the corner. Manny lives in a square-shaped brick house on top of a hill. It's a great sledding hill. There were two little kids sledding down it now on blue plastic discs. They were going pretty slow, since most of the snow had melted. We walked past them and made our way up to Manny's front stoop. Lily rang the doorbell, and I knocked. "Hey, Manny, open up!" I shouted. No reply. No sounds at all, just the drip, drip, drip of the water from the gutter. "Hey, Manny!" I called. We rang and knocked again. "No one home," Lily said, quietly. She stepped off the stoop and moved to the front window. Edging up on tiptoes like Michael Jackson, she tried to peer in.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
See anything? I called. She shook her head. No, the sun is reflecting on the glass. It looks dark inside. There's no car in the driveway, I said. I knocked one more time as hard as I could. To my surprise, the front door swung in a little. Hey, the door is open, I called to Lily. She hurried back to the stoop. I pushed the door open a little further. Anyone home? I called in. No reply. Hey, your door's open, I shouted. Lily pushed the door all the way, and we stepped inside. Manny, she called, cupping her hands around her mouth. Manny! I stepped into the living room and gasped. I tried to speak, but I couldn't. I couldn't believe what I saw. Also, I got home today, and one of the two cats, even though I got them a brand new litter box just this Saturday, apparently peed somewhere. So it's like cat pee in my home, which is depressing, especially because people are going to come over tomorrow to go to the best swap meet in the world that's in the Chargers parking lot, which is like half a mile from where I live. Oh my God, I got shit ripped last weekend and bought a motorcycle. I have no interest in motorcycles. I don't have money for a motorcycle. To be fair, it was a $240 motorcycle that me and my buddy Alex, who you've heard about numerous times, who did the website, purchased together, and I didn't spend a cent on it yet because I don't have money. But the point is, got a motorcycle. I was like, so, how's that thing run? After a couple days, we went out to dinner on Saturday, and he's like, it runs okay, but the brakes don't work. So I'm like, fuck. Point is, anyone want to buy a motorcycle for some price over $240? Because, dear God, I have no interest in motorcycles, and I got drunk enough to purchase one. What am I doing with my life? Oh, yeah, reading Goosebumps. That should bring us to the next chapter.
Chapter number 16.
Lily grabbed my arm. I did that weird thing where I tried to flex a little and be like, look how fucking ripped I am, yeah. That your motor running girl? How you living? As we both stared out around the living room, the room was totally bare. No furniture, no curtains, no paintings or posters on the wall. Even the carpet had been removed, leaving shiny, dark floorboards.
Where'd they go?
I managed to choke out. Lily made her way through the back hall to the kitchen. Also empty. Everything gone. An empty hole where the refrigerator had stood. Oh my God, maybe it was a black hole. Which is the most dangerous kind of a black hole, you know? Because
Just like people, you know? The most dangerous kind. Never mind.
They moved, Lily exclaimed. I don't believe it. But why didn't Manny tell us? I demanded, my eyes moving around the deserted room. Why didn't he tell us his family was moving away? Lily shook her head and didn't reply. The house was silent. I could hear water dripping from the gutter outside. Maybe they had to move suddenly, Lily said finally. Suddenly? Why? I demanded. It was a question that neither of us could answer.
Drinking break.
I love how that was in the same tone as Trojan Man. Remember those ads? I do.
I love to run.
This is back to the book. I'm not rambling. I would never explain that I love to run.
I love to nap. That's how it'd start if I wrote it. Animals. I love to run. Not when I'm running from snarling dogs, but I do love to run. I like the way it gets my heart pounding, and I like that thud of my sneakers on the ground and the feeling of my muscles all working together. On Saturday mornings, I like to go jogging with my dad. He always jogs at Miller Woods, along a path that curves around a small lake. It's really pretty there. The air is always fresh-smelling, and it's a very quiet place. Dad is tall and lean and pretty athletic. He's a hunk. Wink. He used to be blonde like me, but now his hair is mostly gray, and he has a big bald spot on top. He jogs every morning before work, because he doesn't have a drinking problem like Dune. I think he usually jogs pretty fast, but on Saturdays he slows down so we can run side by side. We usually jog without talking. That way, we can concentrate on the scenery and the fresh air. But this Saturday morning, I felt like talking. I decided to tell Dad everything. About the bottle of Instatan. About the black hair that kept spurting. As I talked, I kept my eyes straight ahead. I saw two big crows float down from the clear blue sky and perch side by side on the bare limb of a tree. The crows cawed loudly as if talking to us. The light sparkled brightly as Dad and I followed the curving path around it. Small patches of ice bobbed in the blue-green water. Damn, I wish somewhere I lived somewhere where she actually froze, aside from like ice and cocktails. I started at the beginning and told the whole story. Dad slowed down a little more to listen, but we kept jogging as I talked. I told him about finding the bottle of tanning lotion and how we all splashed it on ourselves as a joke. Dad nodded, but kept his eyes straight ahead. I guess it didn't work, he said, sounding a little breathless from running. You don't look too tan, Larry. No, it didn't work, I continued. The bottle was really old, Dad. It had expired a long time ago. I took a deep breath. The next part was the hardest to tell. It didn't give me a tan, Dad, but something really weird started happening to me. He kept jogging. We both leaped over a fallen tree branch. I slipped over a pile of wet leaves, but quickly caught my balance. This weird hair started growing on me, I told him in a shaky voice. First, on the back of my hand, then on both hands, then on my knees! Dad stopped. He turned to me with a worried expression on his face. Hair? I nodded, breathing hard. Black hair, thick clumps of it, very rough and spiky. Dad swallowed hard. His eyes grew wide. With surprise? With fear? With admiration? With loathing? With disbelief? I couldn't tell. But to my surprise, he grabbed my arm and started to pull me. Come on, Larry. We've got to go. But Dad, I started, holding back. He tightened his grip and pulled harder. I said, we've got to go. Said and go were both in italics, which means serious business. He insisted, through gritted teeth, now. He tugged so hard, he nearly pulled me off my feet. Dad, what's wrong? I demanded in a high, shrill voice. What is it? He didn't answer. He pulled me back along the path toward the street. His eyes were wild. His whole face was twisted into a tight, frightened scowl. Dad, what's wrong? I cried. Where are you taking me? Where?
Chapter number 17.
Dr. Merkin raised the hypodermic needle and examined it in the light. Turn away, Larry, he said softly. I know you don't like to watch. This won't hurt at all. Pain shot through my arm as the needle sank in. Luckily, the heroin filled my veins and I nodded out quickly. Ah, Dad and Dr. Merkin knew what was up. Just kidding, assholes. I shut my eyes and held my breath until he pulled out the needle. I know it's early, he said, rubbing my arm with a cotton ball dipped in alcohol. But since you were here, I thought I'd give you your shot. Dad sat tensely in a folding chair against the wall of the extremely small examining room. He had his arms crossed tightly over the front of his sweatshirt. What about the hair? I stammered to Dr. Merkin. Did the Instatan? The doctor shook his head. I really don't think tanning lotion can cause hair to grow, Larry. Those lotions work on the pigments of the skin. But it was a very old bottle, I insisted. Maybe the ingredients turned sour or something. He waved his hand as if to say, No, retard. Then he turned and started scribbling notes in my file. I'm sorry, Larry, he said, writing rapidly in tiny handwriting. It wasn't the tanning lotion. Trust me. He turned his head to me, his eyes studying me. I've examined you from head to foot, focusing on some areas more than other. You passed every test. You seem fine to me. Whew, that's a relief, Dad said, sighing. But the hair, I insisted. Let's wait and see, Dr. Merkin replied, his eyes on my dad. Wait and see, I cried. You're not going to give me any medicine or anything to stop it? Maybe it won't happen again, Dr. Merkin said, like the worst fucking doctor ever. He closed my file. Then he motioned for me to jump down from the examining table. Try not to worry, Larry, he said, handing my coat to me. You'll be okay. Thank you, Dr. Merkin, Dad said, climbing to his feet. He flashed the doctor a smile, but I could see that it was forced. Dad still looked really tense. I followed Dad out to the parking lot. We didn't say anything until we were in the car on the way home. Feel better? Dad asked. His eyes narrowed straight ahead on the road. No, I replied glumly. What's wrong? Dad asked impatiently. Dr. Merkin said you checked out fine. What about the ugly black hair? I demanded angrily. What about it? Why didn't he do anything about it? Do you think he didn't believe me? I'm sure he believed you, asshole, said my dad softly. Then why didn't he do anything to help me? I wailed. Dad didn't reply for the longest time. He stared straight through the windshield, chewing on his lower lip. Then, finally, he said in a hushed voice, Sometimes the best thing is to wait. It was a drinking break, by the way. Once again, to new listeners, a drinking break is when there's those paragraphs with an extra space in between them, which kind of means time has passed. But, you know, I use them to drink. Whatever. We met at Lily's house for band practice that afternoon. We sounded pretty good, but it wasn't the same without Manny. We were all really upset that he had moved away without saying goodbye. Lily asked her mom to call some friends who were friendly with Manny's parents. She wanted to find out where Manny and his family had moved, but the friends turned out to be as surprised as we were. We couldn't find anyone who knew that Manny's family planned to move from our town. I have to admit that our song sounded better with two guitars instead of three. It's good guitars, not guitars. I'm just saying. That was me slurring because I've been trying to pound booze. And my dinner was like, hey, here's a fistful of ham from Thanksgiving. Lily has a very light singing voice. Not much power! And three guitars nearly always drowned her out. With Manny gone, we could actually hear Lily some of the time. I kept messing up the Beatles song we were rehearsing. I wanna hold your foot! No, it says hand here. That would be funny if it did say foot. Hey, R.L. Stein, maybe on the revised version you could add that joke and free of charge, no problem. I played the wrong chords and couldn't get the rhythm right. I knew what the trouble was. I couldn't stop thinking about Dr. Merkin and how he didn't believe me about the hair. He said it wasn't the Instatan. But maybe he was wrong. I felt so angry and so alone. Yeah, welcome to be a teenager, asshole. I feel angry and alone and nobody understands me. This is my band and I write the lyrics and they're all about death and meh. Glancing around Lily's room as we started, I wanna hold your hand. For the 20th time, I studied my friends. Were they having the same problem? Were they growing up? Were they growing ugly black hair too and afraid to tell anyone? The first time I had asked, Lily had laughed at me and called me Harry Larry. But I had to ask again. I couldn't think about anything else. I had to know the truth. About 9/11, completely unrelated to this hair, I just really need to know the truth. By the way, the truth was there's some extreme Islamist terrorists, and they hijacked buildings, or planes, and flew into buildings. If you hijack a building and try to fly into something, you'll fucking die of old age first. Because you can't fly buildings into things. That's the one thing my fucking senile ass grandpa ever told me. I waited till practice was over. Christina was tucking her guitar into its case. Jared went into the kitchen to get a Coke from the fridge. Trademark. Lily was standing beside the couch, one hand twirling the gold pirate coin at her throat. I have to ask you something, I said nervously when Jared returned to the room. He popped the top in the can and a spray of Coke hitting him in the face. Ow, ski, 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 motherfucker. Everyone laughed. Can't you work a Coke can? Lily joked. Do you need an instruction book? Ha, ha, Jared replied sarcastically, wiping his face with his sleeve. You deliberately shook the cans, Lily. You Michael J. Foxed me, bitch. So people would get squirted, admit it. Christina laughed as she snapped her guitar case shut. Maybe you should stick to juice boxes, Jared. I have a vivid memory of being a kid and sitting in the back of my dad's like truck on a road trip and having a juice box and for no reason blowing into the straw of an almost full juice box and then just getting fucking bukkakied with apple juice all over my face like a retard. What's retard talk in this episode? If any of you have retarded people in your family, I feel bad and I'm sorry. I feel bad. Not feel bad that you have them. I'm saying I feel bad for what I've said. I'm still going to keep saying it, though, because I'm taking back the R word. Just like Kanye's taking back the Confederate flag. He stuck out his tongue at her. I cleared my throat loudly. I want to ask you guys something, I repeated in a shaky voice. They were all in a great mood, laughing and kidding around. They all seemed totally normal. Why was I the only one who felt worried and afraid? Remember the instant tan stuff? I started. Have any of you been growing hair since we put that stuff on? I could feel my face turning red. I mean, really ugly patches of thick black hair? Jared started to laugh, and Coke spurted out of his nose. Oh, I'll still snort it. He started to choke. Christina hurried over to slap him on the back. Harry Larry! Jared cried when he stopped choking. He pointed the Coke can at me and started chanting, Harry Larry! Harry Larry! Harry Larry! Come on, guys, I pleaded. I'm serious. That made Christina and Jared laugh even harder. I turned to Lily, who was still standing beside the couch. She had a troubled expression on her face. She definitely wasn't laughing. She lowered her eyes to the floor as I continued to stare at her. Larry is a werewolf, Jared declared, much like Dune did in the last episode. That wasn't a drinking break. I just need to drink. And Yoda, the cat, is drinking out of my girlfriend Connie's water cup from last night, because he only drinks out of human cups that are left around because he's a douchebag. That's not true. He's a sweetheart and I love him. I hope the geeks don't have to play when there's a full moon, Christina exclaimed. Maybe Larry's howling is better than his guitar playing, Jared said. They both laughed. I was just making a joke, I stammered. I wanted a hole to open in the floor so that I could disappear into it. I'm the only one, I realized. I'm the only one who is growing the ugly hair. God, wow, it's just like I felt growing up being a fucking Italian kid. That's why Jared and Christina thought it was so funny. It wasn't happening to them. They didn't have to worry about it. But Lily wasn't joining in with the jokes. She turned away and started picking up music sheets from the floor and straightening the room. Lily always enjoys teasing me and making me blush. I stared at her, wondering if she had the same secret I did. I packed up my guitar slowly and waited for Jared and Christina to leave. Then I put on my coat and baseball cap and followed Lily to the front door. Uh-oh. Sorry, computer went to a, like, screensaver. Or just blacked out. If I keep up boozing like this, I'll black out. On the front stoop, I turned back to her. Lily, tell me the truth, I insisted, studying her face. Have you been growing weird patches of black hair on your hands and knees? She hesitated, chewing her bottom lip. I don't want to talk about it, she replied in a whisper. Then she slammed the front door. I didn't move from the concrete stoop. I kept picturing her troubled expression. I kept hearing her whispering voice. Was it happening to Lily? If it was, why wouldn't she admit it to me? Was she too embarrassed? Or was she embarrassed for me? Maybe it wasn't happening to her, I realized. Maybe she just thinks I'm crazy as shit. Maybe she feels bad for me because I keep acting such a fool. It says acting like such a jerk, but I said acting a fool. Once again, trying to get the African-American readers involved. You know? That's what I'm doing here. I'm trying to branch out. Feeling totally confused, I turned and headed for the street. The sun was still high in the sky, but the air felt cold. A sharp wind blew up my face as I started toward home. Leaning in the wind, I reached up and tugged down my cap to keep it from blowing away. To my surprise, I couldn't pull it down. The cap suddenly felt tight. Too tight. I removed it and held it close to my face to study it. Had someone adjusted the back to make it tighter? No. A chill of dread ran down my back as I raised my hand to my forehead and discovered why my cap didn't fit. My entire fucking forehead was covered with thick, bristly hair. Fuck. Shout out to Giovanni. 18. I burst through the back door into the kitchen. Mom, look at this, I cried. Look at my head. My eyes darted around the room. Mom, not there. I ran through the house calling for her. I decided it was time to show my parents what was happening to me. Time to make them believe. Anything called love, simply put away. Me. The stripe of hair would totally gross them out. Would finally convince them that this was serious. Mom? Dad? Anybody home? No. When I returned to the kitchen, I found a note on the refrigerator. We went shopping in Brooksdale Village. Home late. Fix yourself a snack. With a cry of disgust, I tossed my cap against the room. Then I pulled off my parka and let it fall to the floor. My heart pounding, I made my way to the mirror in the front hall and studied myself. I looked like some kind of comic book mutant. My pale face stared back at me. It appeared exactly the same, except that I had a thick black stripe of fur across my forehead like an Arab dude. Looks like I'm wearing a bandana. I didn't know there's two ends in bandana. I thought it was just one end in bandana. I thought miserably, like one of those headbands that skiers wear. Also, when I kept saying bandana, I meant there's three ends in this version of bandana. It says B-A-N-D-A-N-N-A. Except this one is made of disgusting hair. I ran a trembling hand over the thick hair, my chest heaving up and down. I felt like crying and screaming furiously at the same oh, God damn it, my head's all fucking fucked up from breathing in and out like that. I felt like crying and screaming furiously at the same time. I felt like grabbing the stripe of fur and ripping it off my head. I could barely bear to look at myself. The hair was so gross, so disgusting. I decided there was no way I could wait for Mom and Dad to get home. I couldn't leave that horrible hair on my face. I couldn't leave that... Oh, that's the line I just read. Spinning away from the mirror, I ran upstairs to shave it off. I lathered up the strip of hair with shaving cream. Then I began to scrape my dad's razor over it. Ow! It hurt, but I didn't give a shit. I had to cut it off. Every thick, bristly strand of it. Watching the hair fall into the sink, I suddenly knew what I had to do. I had to find the Instatan bottle. I had to find it and take it to Dr. Merkin.
Like, the doctor has some sort of machine where he just puts in a liquid, and he's like, oh, this is what's comprised of.
I think the only person that has that is Plankton. And he's not a person, he's Plankton. SpongeBob reference. If I bring him the bottle, I can make him believe me, I told myself. Then Dr. Merkin can do tests on it. He can figure out why it's making hair grow on me. And once he knows that it's the Instatan that's growing hair, Dr. Merkin will give me a cure, I decided. But where did we toss the bottle? I shut my eyes and struggled to remember. After I discovered the bottle, we had all run into Lily's house to splash the stuff on. Then we had gone back outside to mess around in the snow. Did we toss the Instatan bottle back in the trash dumpster next door? I had to find out. I scribbled a note to my parents. Dear Mom, dear Dad, get blunted, hecka baked, 420 swag. Love, Larry. Just kidding. He had to make a note for them, telling them I left something at Lily's and would be back soon. Then I grabbed my coat and hurried out the door. The air had become a lot colder. Clouds had rolled over the sun, making the evening sky gray. I zipped up my parka and pulled the hood over my head. That's a good place for a hood, Dune thought. My forehead still tingled from where I shaved it. The 3 blocks to Lily's house seemed like 3 miles. As I turned the corner, her house came into view. I don't want her to see me, I realized. If she sees me poking around the trash dumpster, she'll want to know why, and I'm not ready to tell her the whole story. Oh, side note. Asterisk. Nick. Nick who read, Night of the Living Dummy? Return of the Living Dummy? Hey, look out, assholes, there's a dummy. Just got certified or took a certification test after years of going to school to be a court reporter. One of those assholes who use a wacky computer because courts for some reason can't use audio recorders, even though it'd be much easier. Anyway, he just got the degree from that and informed me that due to his studying that Dumpster is in fact a brand, and I'm an asshole for pointing out that R.L. Stine capitalized D. So Nick is correct. I'm wrong as per usual. So thanks a lot, Nick. Really appreciate it, Nick. Fucking douche. She wouldn't tell me the truth, I thought bitterly. Instead, she slammed the door on me. So I'm not ready to tell her the truth either. I felt glad that it had become so dark out. Maybe Lily wouldn't see me. I kept my eyes on our house as I approached. The lights were on in the dining room. Maybe her family was having an early dinner. Good, I thought. I'll dig through the trash dumpster, pull out the bottle, and disappear before they finish, before anyone has a chance to glance out the window. I stopped short when I saw that there was just a little problem. The trash dumpster, with a capital D, which is good job, Nick. The trash dumpster was gone. The workers must have hauled it away. I let out a long sigh and nearly slumped to my knees. Now what? I murmured out loud. Now, how do I prove to Dr. Merkin that the Instatan is making hair grow? The cold wind swirled around me as I stared at the curb where the dumpster had stood. Fat brown leaves, blown by the twisting wind, fluttered around my legs. Is that a haiku? I shivered, turning to leave. A memory flashed through my mind. The Instatan bottle. We hadn't dropped it back in the dumpster. We had tossed it into the woods on the other side of the neighbor's house because fuck recycling. Yes! I cried happily. Yes! We had chased each other across the neighbor's yard, and I'd heaved the bottle into the trees. It was still there. I told myself it has to be there. I darted past Lily's house, glancing up at the front windows. I couldn't see anyone looking out. Past the neighbor's house, dark and empty, the remodeling work was not finished. into the woods. The leaves wet and slippery under my shoes. The bare tree branches shook and rattled in the shifting, sharp wind. Where'd that bottle? I asked myself. Where'd that shit go? It hadn't gone far, I remembered, just past the first trees. It had to be nearby, I knew. Somewhere near where I stood, a blanket of deep shadow had fallen over the woods. I kicked a pile of dead leaves. My shoe hit something hard. Bending quickly, I tossed leaves away with both hands, only to find a tree branch. I moved deeper into the woods, pushing my way through clumps of tall, dead weeds. I stopped. Hammer time. Just kidding. It has to be around here, I knew. My eyes desperately searched the shadows. There it is. Now, just a smooth stone. I kicked it away. Then I turned slowly, making a complete circle, my eyes sweeping the dark ground. Where is the bottle? Where? I sucked in my breath when I heard the sound, the crack of a twig. I listened hard. I heard the crackle of the leaves, the brush of a leg against a winter dry shrub, another twig cracking. Swallowing hard, I realized I was no longer alone. Who's there? I called. I just spilled ice water on my crotch and then brought the glass all the way up to my mouth and smacked myself in the front tooth. That, my friends, is how you tell the Steel Reserve is working. Chapter number 19. Yeah, Steel Reserve. Who's there? No reply. Frozen, as still as a statue, I listened. I heard the scrape of feet moving rapidly over the ground. I heard heavy breathing. Hey, who is it? I called. I glanced down and saw the bottle lying on its side, nestled in a pile of leaves right in front of me. I bent down quickly, reached eagerly for the bottle with both hands, but I jerked back up to my feet in fright as a dark figure lumbered out from the trees. Ooh, speaking of lumber, it could be a lumberjack. We'll find out, won't we, listeners? Panting hard, its long tongue flapping from its open mouth, a tall brown dog. Even in the dim light, I could see how scraggly and tangled its fur was. I could see large burrs stuck in its heaving side. I took a step back. Are you alone, boy? I called in a half-frightened whisper. Huh? Are you alone, doggy? The animal lowered its head and let out a whimper. It's probably his dad, and they're all werewolves. Oh, my goodness! Like Professor Lupin, you know, from Harry Potter? I love Harry Potter. I searched the woods for other dogs. Who let the dogs out? Am I right, Bahaman? No? Was he part of a pack? Part of a pack of stray dogs that like to chase me, growling and snapping? I didn't see any others. Good dog, I told him, keeping my voice low and calm. Good doggy. Franklin, you're a good dog. I fucking love you. He stared up at me, just like Franklin, still panting. His scraggly brown tail wagged once, then dropped. Then drooped. Never dropped. I bent slowly, keeping my eyes on the dog, and picked up the bottle. It felt surprisingly cold. I held it up and tried to see if any liquid remained inside, but it was too goddamn dark to see. I'm pretty sure I didn't use every last drop, I thought, struggling to remember. There has to be a little left, enough for Dr. Merkin to test. I shook the bottle close to my ear, listening for the splash of liquid inside. Please, 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 let there be a drop left, I pleaded silently. And not yelling like an asshole like Dune. The trees shivered in a sharp, swirling gust. Leaves rustled and scraped against each other. The dog let out another soft whimper. I grasped. That's how you pronounce it properly. The bottle tightly in my right hand and started to back away. Bye-bye, doggy. He tilted his head and stared up at me. I took another step back. Bye, doggy, I repeated softly. Go home, Go home, boy. He didn't move. He let out another whimper. Then his tail began to wag. I took another step back, grasping the Instatan bottle tightly. Then, as I started to turn away from the staring dog, I saw the others. They poked out quickly, silently, from the dark trees. 5 or 6 big dogs. Really, is it 5 or is it 6? Because, dear God, that's not even a big number to count and stuff. You should really be able to tell the difference between 5 and 6. Dear God. That was a stupid jag that I just went on, and I regret doing it. Their eyes glowing angrily. Then, 5 or 6 more. What is it? Fucking 10 or 12 now. God, I hate myself so much. As they lumbered nearer, moving quickly, steadily, I could hear their growls low and menacing. They pulled back their lips and bared their teeth. I froze, staring in terror at the darkly glowing eyes, listening to their menacing low growls. Then I spun around quickly, started to run. Oh! I let out a shrill cry as I stumbled over a fallen tree branch. A bottle flew out of my hand. As I fell, I reached for it, grasping desperately. Missed! I watched in horror as it hit a sharp rock and shattered. The jagged pieces flew in all directions. One tiny puddle of brown liquid washed over the rock. I landed hard on my knees and elbows. Shouldn't you be happy that they're cushioned by hair now, asshole? Pain shot through my body, but I ignored it and scrambled to my feet. I whirled around to face the dogs, but to my surprise, they were running in a different direction through the trees. I glimpsed a frightened rabbit scrabbling over the leafy ground, not scrambling, barking and growling. The dogs chased after it, my heart pounding, my knees still throbbing. I walked over to the rock and stared down at the jagged pieces of orange glass. I picked one up and examined it closely. Now what the fuck do I do? I asked myself out loud. I could still hear the excited barks of the dogs in the distance. Now what? The bottle was shattered into a dozen pieces. My evidence was gone. I had nothing to show Dr. Merkin, nothing at all. With an angry cry, I tossed the piece of glass at the trees. Then I wearily slunk toward home. There's a drinking break here, but I only have water, and I need to get more booze. But alas, I will just finish that water and then keep going until I finish this chapter and then make a cocktail. Mom and Dad hurried to a school meeting after dinner. I went upstairs to my room to do homework. I didn't feel like being alone. I took Jasper in my lap and petted her for a while. She was not in the mood. She glared at me with those weird yellow eyes like a Chinaman. When that didn't work, she scratched my hand, jumped away, and disappeared out of the room. I tried calling Lily, but no one answered at her place. Oh my goodness. Outside, the wind howled around the corner of the house. I made my bedroom window rattle. I didn't make it. The wind did specifically. Calm down, dude. I'm like frothing from like talking very fast and not being drunk. Well, I had a tall can of steel reserve, but it's only 24 ounces, 8.1% high gravity lager. A chill ran down my back. I leaned my elbows on my desk and hunched over my government textbook. Hey, you should burn that, then you'd be a total rebel. Fuck the police. But I couldn't concentrate. The words on the page became a gray blur. I walked across the room and picked up my guitar. Then I bent down and plugged it into my amp, like the beginning of a bunch of weird 90s music videos where they thought it was really cool to plug a guitar in an amp and have like half a second of feedback before it went to Lots of times when I'm feeling nervous or upset, I play my guitar for a while. It always calms me down. What a douchebag, Doom thought. I cranked the amp up really high and started to play a loud blues melody. There was no one else home, no one to tell me to turn it down. I wanted to play as loud as I could, loud enough to drown out my troubled thoughts. But I played for only 3 or 4 minutes when I realized that something was wrong. I kept missing notes, messing up the chords. What's wrong with me? I wondered. I've played this tune a million times. I can play it in my sleep. When I glanced down at my fingers, I saw the problem. Oh! I muttered a weak groan. That disgusting hair had sprouted all over both of my hands. My fingers were covered in thick, black hair. I turned my hands over. Both palms were covered, too. The guitar fell heavily to the floor as I jumped to my feet. Oh, now he's gonna have to retune that bitch. My arms began to itch. With trembling hands, I tore at the cuffs, pulled up my sleeves. My arms were covered too. The thick, bristly hair swept over both hands and arms. I stood there, swallowing hard, staring down at my hairy arms and hands. My legs were trembling. I felt weak. My mouth suddenly felt dry like dunes. My throat ached. I tried to swallow. I spit instead. Just kidding, it didn't say that. Was this disgusting hair growing on my tongue? Feeling a jolt of nausea, I lurched across the hall to the bathroom, clicking on the... Clicking? I need water. Alright, let's hit a hard C sound. Clicking on the ceiling light, I leaned over the sink. I brought my face up close to the mirror and stuck out my tongue. No, my tongue is aight. But my face, my cheeks and chin were covered with black hair. It's spreading so fast, I realized. The mirror reflected my horror. It's spreading so fast now, all over me. What am I gonna do? Isn't there anything I can do? Miller High Life. Chapter 20. I got to school early on Monday morning like a total nerd and waited for Lily at her locker. I had taken hours to shave off all the bristly clumps of hair, but I did it. This morning, I wore a sweater with extra long sleeves and pulled a baseball cap down low on my head in case the hair grew back during the day. Lily, where are you? I murmured impatiently. I paced nervously back and forth in front of the row of green lockers. Lily and I have to face this problem together, I told myself. I remembered the frightened expression on Lily's face when I asked her if she had been growing weird hair. I knew the same thing was happening to Lily. I just knew it. And I knew that Lily must be embarrassed like me, too embarrassed to admit that shit, to even talk about it. But the two of us can figure out what to do, I decided. If the two of us go to Dr. Merkin and tell him about the Instatan lotion and the hair, he'll have to believe us. But where was Lily? Kids jammed in the hall. That'd be funny if that was the original title of Kids in the Hall. Kids jammed in the hall. Guess it wouldn't be funny at all now that I said it out loud. Slamming lockers, laughing and talking, I glanced at my watch. Only 3 minutes till the bell rang. How's it going, Larry? A voice called. I turned around and saw Howie Herwin grinning at me. His sister, Marissa, stood beside him. Her braid was caught in her backpack strap, and she was struggling to free it. Hi, Howie, I said, sighing. He was the last person I wanted to see this morning. Ready for tomorrow? He asked. Why did he have to grin like that when we talked? That grin just made me want to punch him in the fucking throat. Tomorrow? I glanced down at the crowded hall, searching for Lily. Howie laughed. Didn't you forget about the Battle of the Mans? Ow! Marissa cried. She finally managed to tug her braid free. Is your band still going to play? She asked. We heard about Manny leaving. Yeah, we'll be there, I told her. We sound pretty good.
We do too,
Howie replied, grinning even wider.
We might be on TV. My uncle knows a woman who works on Star Search. He thinks maybe he can get us on.
Great, I replied, without any enthusiasm. Where was Lily? If we get on that show, we'll probably win, Marissa added, totally fucking needlessly like a total bitch, still fiddling with her long braid. And then we'll be famous.
They asked us to play at the next school dance, Howie said. They didn't ask your band, did they?
No, I replied. No one asked us. That made Howie's grin practically burst off his stupid fucking asshole face.
Too bad, he said.
The bell rang. I gotta go, I said, hurrying toward Miss Schindling's room.
See you at the contest tomorrow, Marissa called.
We're going first, Howie shouted. I guess they're saving the best for first.
Apparently that's how he laughs. Like a retarded parakeet.
Damn, third time using that word. I heard the two of them laughing as I stepped into the classroom. I made my way to my seat, searching for Lily. Had she slipped past me while I was talking with Howie and Marissa? No. No sign of her. I sank into my seat, feeling worried and disappointed. Was Lily sick today? I sure as fuck hope not. She can't get sick the day before the Battle of the Bands, I told myself. She just can't. Larry, would you hand out the tests? Miss Schindling asked, dropping a heavy stack of papers into my arms. Huh? Test? I had totally forgotten.
Now I can finally take advantage of this drinking break.
I give that drinking break a 7 out of 10. Lily didn't come to school. I tried phoning her at lunchtime. The phone rang and rang. It rang, rang, and rang, but no one answered. After school, I decided to go to Lily's house to see what had happened to her. But as I walked out of the school building and into the valley of the shadow of death, I remembered that my mom had asked me to come straight home after school. She had some chores she wanted me to help her with. Who am I, Kunta Kinte? It was a clear, cold day. Puffy, white clouds floated high in the afternoon sky. All the snow had finally melted, but the ground was still soft and wet. I waited for several cars to pass. Then I crossed the street safely like a badass and headed home. I had walked nearly a block when I realized I was being followed. A dog brushed softly against my leg. Oh my god, it's Sirius Black. Startled, I stopped and stared down at it. The dog had light brown fur, almost red, with a white patch at its throat. It was a medium-sized dog, a little bigger than a Cocker Spaniel! It had long, flabby brown ears and a long, furry tail that swept slowly back and forth as it gazed up at me. Who are you? I asked. I've never seen you before. I glanced around, making sure there weren't a dozen other dogs lurking in the bushes, getting ready to chase after me. Then I turned and started walking again. The dog brushed my leg again and kept on going. As I walked, it stayed a few yards ahead of me, glancing back to make sure I was following. Are you following me? Or am I following you? It's you before me. Except after we are when followed by swag, like neighbor and swag. Damn it. The dog's tail gave a single wag in reply. It followed me all the way home. My mom was waiting for me at the driveway. She had a long green sweater pulled down over her knees. Nice day, she commented, glancing up at the sunny sky. Hi, Mom, I greeted her. This dog followed me home. The dog sniffed at the low evergreen shrubs that line the front walk. She's kind of pretty, Mom said. What a nice color. Who does she belong to? I shrugged. Beats me. I've never seen her before. Probably has, because it's probably Lily and they're all turning to werewolves. I called this one. Obviously, it's super obvious and I'm going to be wrong and then I'm going to feel shitty and I have to edit out all the parts where I made bad predictions. The dog came over and stared up at Mom. At least she's friendly, I said, setting my heavy backpack down in the driveway. Maybe we should keep her. No way, Jose, Mom replied sharply. No dogs, not with Jasper in the house. I bent down and petted the top of the dog's head. She has a tag on her collar, Mom said, pointing. Check it out, Larry. Maybe it says the owner's name. The dog's tail wagged furiously as I petted her head. Good dog, I said softly. Come on, Larry. See what the tag says, Mom insisted. Okay, okay. I reached for the round gold tag hanging down from the dog's collar. Then I dropped to my knees and lowered my face so I could see it. Huh? I recognized it instantly. It wasn't a dog tag. It was Lily's gold pirate coin. God damn it, did I just predict the obvious thing that's clearly not the truth and he's going to zag as soon as I zigged and now I feel stupid? I always feel stupid and fat and ugly and useless. God, I just want to drink. I'm kidding on that one. Those ones I'm kidding, but, you know, I wasn't kidding at the beginning.
Kevin Ghost One just called me a hooker for being half an hour late to the Comics Online podcast, which means I might have to join on, but it's really important that I get this done or else I can't get it up ever, and this is the time I can do it. It's, Kevin likes it. He's listening right now. Hello, Kevin. Chapter 21. I nearly fell over. I felt as if someone had kicked me in the stomach. Mom, I stammered, but my voice came out a gasp. Larry, what are you doing? Mom called. She had wandered to the side of the driveway and was pulling up some dead weeds. What did the tag say?
It isn't a tag.
I finally managed to choke out. She turned her head back to me.
It isn't a dog tag, I repeated, still holding it between my fingers. It's Lily's gold pirate coin.
Mom laughed. Why would Lily give her coin to a dog? Didn't her grandfather give her that coin?
I don't know why. I don't get it, Mom.
The dog's hot breath brushed over my hand. She pulled away from me, settling back and started scratching her long, floppy ear with her back paw. Are you sure it's a gold coin, Larry? Mom asked, crossing the drive, standing right behind me. I nodded and reached for the coin again.
Yeah, it's Lily's gold coin, Mom.
It must be some other gold coin, Mom suggested. I'm sure it isn't the same gold coin. Mom must be right. I let go of the coin and raised my hand to pet the dog's head, but my hand stopped in midair when I saw the dog's eyes. That fucking dog had one blue eye and one green eye. Like Lily's eyes. That's the significance. That's why the chapter ends on this line. Every chapter ends with something significant. And then half the time he goes, oh, JK, anyway. But this time maybe you won't. We'll see.
Chapter 22.
It's Lily! It's Lily! I shrieked, jumping to my feet. My shouts frightened the dog. She uttered a shrill yip, turned, and bolted from the front yard. Lily, come back! I called after her. Come back, Lily! Lily, wait! Mom cried. Please! I didn't hear the rest of what she said. Jumping over my backpack, I darted toward the street. I hurtled across without slowing to look for cars. Oh, American badass. And kept running toward Lily's house. You know, kids, when I was young, it was cool as fuck to not look for cars, but now there's Priuses and shit, and they're all silent, just like... Back in my day, cars were like... And you'd be, like, walking down the street, and you could just walk out there all drunk when you're, like, 8 and not worry about anything, because the cars were like... But then the Prius was like... So you gotta actually look both ways before you cross the street now, because there's environmentalist douchebags. It is Lily, I told myself. That dog has a green eye and a blue eye, and it's wearing Lily's coin. It is Lily, I know it! I could hear my mom calling for me to come back, but I ignored that bitch and kept running. Lily's house was 3 blocks away. I ran at full speed the whole way. By the time her house came into view, I was gasping for breath, and I had a sharp pain in my side, but I didn't give a shit. I had to see Lily. I had to know for sure that the dog wasn't Lily. Such a crazy thought. As I crossed the street, I started to realize how crazy it was. Lily? A dog? I always knew she was a bitch, but a dog? Just kidding, it doesn't say that. Larry, are you totally losing it? I asked myself. Mom must think I'm a total wacko. I realized, Lily, a dog? I slowed down, rubbing the pain at my side, trying to massage it away. I spotted Lily's parents in the driveway. The trunk of their blue Chevy was open. Mr. Vaughn was lifting a suitcase into it. Hi, I called breathlessly. Hey, hi. Hello, Larry, Mr. Vaughn said as I was stepping up to the car. I saw 2 other suitcases and some smaller bags waiting to be loaded in the car.
Going on a trip? I asked,
struggling to catch my breath. The pain in my side kept throbbing, refusing to go away. They didn't answer. Mr. Vaughn groaned as he hoisted a heavy suitcase into the trunk. Where's Lily? I asked. I handed him one of the smaller bags. She wasn't in school today.
We're going away, Miss Vaughn said quietly from behind me.
Well, where's Lily? I repeated. Is she inside? Mr. Vaughn frowned, but didn't reply. I turned to Lily's mom. Can I see her? I asked impatiently. Is Lily inside? You must have the wrong house, she replied softly. My mouth dropped open. Wrong house, Miss Vaughn? What do you mean? There's no one here named Lily, she said.
Chapter 23.
For some reason, I burst out laughing. Startled laughter, frightened laughter. Mrs. Vaughn's sad expression cut my laughter short and sent a chill down my back.
Is Lily? I started to say.
Miss Vaughn grabbed my shoulder and squeezed it. She lowered her face to mine. Listen to what I'm telling you, Larry, she said through gritted teeth. But, I sputtered. There is no Lily, she repeated, squeezing my shoulder hard. Just forget about her, she said, with tears in her eyes. Mr. Vaughn slammed the car trunk. I jumped out of Mrs. Vaughn's grasp, my heart pounding. You'd better go, Mr. Vaughn said firmly, coming over to his wife, which is much better than coming on his wife. I took a step back. My legs felt weak and shaky, but Lily, I started. You'd better go, Mr. Vaughn repeated. At the side of the garage, I spotted the red-brown dog. She whimpered sadly, her head hung low. I whirled around and ran as fast as I could.
Drinking break, Trojan man.
Mom and Dad acted so strange at dinner. They refused to discuss Lily or the dog or Lily's parents. Mom and Dad kept glancing at each other, giving each other meaningful looks that I wasn't supposed to see.
They're gonna have anal tonight. That's what I figured out from the looks that they don't want the kid to see.
They think I'm crazy, I realized. That's why they're refusing to talk about it. They think I'm losing my mind. They don't want to say anything to me until they decide how they're going to handle me. I'm not crazy, I shouted suddenly, dropping my fork and knife onto the table. I hadn't touched my paschetti or my meat bulbs. How could I eat? I'm not crazy. I'm not making this up.
Can't we talk about it another time? Phone's ringing.
Hey, can't we talk about it another time? Mom pleaded, glancing at Dad. Let's just finish our dinner, Dad added, keeping his eyes on his plate. After dinner, I called Jared and Christina over to give them the bad news. I didn't want them to think I was crazy, so I simply told them that Lily had gone away. But what about tomorrow? Jared cried. Yeah, what about the Battle of the Bands? Christina demanded. How could Lily leave on the day before the contest? I shrugged. We were sitting in the living room. Christina and I sat on opposite ends of the couch. Jared was sprawled in the chair across from me. Jared brushed over my feet. Wow, not Jared. That'd be sensual. Jasper, who I think's a cat, but I don't remember because I don't remember the first half of this. Because I'm drinking right now. Jasper brushed over my feet. I leaned down and lifted her onto my lap, her yellow eyes staring up at me. Then she closed them and settled against me, purring softly, assuming it's a cat and not some, like, Manny that lives in and is way creepy. Where did Lily go? Christina asked angrily, drumming her fingers on the couch arm. On vacation? Why didn't she tell us she was going to miss the contest? Howie Herwin will jump for joy when he hears this news, Jared muttered glumly, shaking his head. I don't know where Lily went, I told them. I saw her parents loading suitcases into the car. Now they're gone, that's all I know. I'm sure Lily is very unhappy. I know Lily wanted to be with us. I don't think she had a choice. I had a sudden urge to tell them everything that had happened, but I didn't want them to start laughing at me or worrying about me. I felt so mixed up, like the Cure remix album that's called Mixed Up. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I wanted Lily back and Manny that I knew. I wanted the ugly hair to stop sprouting all over my body. If only I had never found the bottle of Instatan. That was all my fault, all of it. So I guess the geeks have to pull out of the band contest tomorrow, I said glumly. I guess, Jared repeated, shaking his head. No way, Christina cried, surprising both of us. She jumped to her feet and stood between Jared and me. She balled both hands into fists. No way, she repeated. Like, I assume there was some sort of scene in the new movie, and by new I mean like 15 years old now, of Josie and the Pussycats that no one saw, but I remember the song because it was so bad, and when I'm a punk rock prom queen, Brown Paper Magazine. But we don't have a singer, Jared protested. I can sing, Christina replied quickly. I'm a pretty good singer, but you haven't rehearsed any of the songs, Jared said. Do you know the words? Christina nodded. All them bitches. But Christina, I started. Listen, guys, she said sharply. We have to go on stage tomorrow. Even if it's just the three of us, we can't let Howie Herwin win tomorrow, can we? I'd like to wipe that grin off Howie's face, I muttered. Me too, Jared agreed. But how can we? Two guitars and a keyboard? Howie has his full band. He'll blast us out of that goddamn shit-fucking aquarium.
Aquarium.
Auditorium. God damn. Aquarium. Ah, this would be a better book if it was an aquarium. Not if we play our hearts out, Christina exclaimed with emotion. Good job, R.L. Stine. Don't specify any emotion. Just say that she had one of them. Christina, I just want to let you know that I feel an emotion for you. Not if we give it our best. Let's do it for Lily, I blurted out. The words just tumbled out of my mouth. As soon as I said it, I felt embarrassed. But Christina and Jared picked right up. Let's do it for Lily, they both cried. We can win, we really can. Let's win it for Lily. So it was decided. The geeks would go on stage tomorrow. Could we win? Could we beat Howie and the Shouters? Probably not, but we'd give it our best shot. Let's go up to my room and practice a little, I suggested. Jared started to move toward the stairs, but Christina didn't move. I turned and found her sitting, staring at my face in the mirror. Larry? She cried, pointing. What's that on your forehead?
Chapter number 24, I gassed and whore. I kept singing because I realized that the word rhymed with number 4.
My hand shot up to my forehead, the ugly black hair. It had grown back. I knew it. And now Christina and Jared were both staring at it. They both saw it and saw that it was becoming some kind of monster. I rubbed my forehead with a trembling hand. Smooth. My forehead was smooth. It's right there, Christina pointed. I hurried over to the hallway mirror and gazed up at my forehead. I discovered an orange smear near my right temple. It's Paschetti sauce, I muttered. I must have rubbed it on my face during dinner. I rubbed off the orange spot. My entire body was shaking. Christina had scared me to death over a dumb spaghetti sauce spot on my head and stuff. Larry, are you okay? She asked, standing behind me, staring at my reflection in the mirror. You look kind of weird. I'm okay, I replied quickly, trying to force my body to stop shaking and quaking. Hey, don't get sick, Jared warned. Christina and I can't go on stage by ourselves tomorrow. I'll be there, I told them. Don't worry, guys. I'll be there. Drink. King. Break.
Rod.
The next afternoon, the whole school jammed in the auditorium to watch the Battle of the Bands. Feeling really nervous, I stood backstage and peeked out through the curtain. The lights in the auditorium were all on, and Mr. Fosberg, the principal, stood in the front of the curtain, both arms raised, trying to get everyone quiet behind me. Howie Herwin had his band, and his band were tuning up, adjusting their amps, making sure the shout... I'm trying to finish quick because I keep telling Kevin I'm going to be on the podcast, but he knows it's important that I do goddamn Goosebumps. That being said, I'm trying to read too quick and I'm stumbling over words. It's not because I'm drunk. Shut up. Making sure the sound was right. Marissa was wearing a very short, sparkly red dress over black tights. Meow! She caught me staring at her and flashed me a smug smile. The geek should have dressed up, I realized, watching Marissa. We didn't even think of it. The three of us were wearing t-shirts and jeans, our normal school clothes. I turned and gazed at Howie's new synthesizer keyboard. Aw, man, he could play for Fart Barf, I thought. It was about a mile long and had 1,000 buttons and dials on it. It made Jaren's keyboard look like fucking baby diarrhea shit. It says like a baby toy, but I improvised. Howie caught me staring at it. Cool, huh? He called, grimming that gruesome grin. Hey, Larry, after we win the contest, you can have my autograph. Howie laughed, so did Marissa and the rest of the shouters. I turned and slumped away to join Jared and Christina at the side of the stage. We're total losers, I moaned, shaking my head. Good attitude, Larry, Jared replied sarcastically. Maybe Howie's giant keyboard will blow all the fuses, I said glumly. That's our only chance. Christina rolled her eyes. They can't be that good, she muttered. Maybe they're like Stephanie Tanner's band where, you know, they're going to play at the Smash Club that Uncle Jesse owned and they're really excited about it, but all they did was focus on their looks and their dance moves. They didn't know how to play their instruments and they got on stage and they just looked terrible and it was awful, you know? Maybe it's like that situation. Oh, God, I wish I could draw stories from my own life instead of Full House. The auditorium lights darkened. The curtain slid open. Howie and the Shouters stepped into the red and blue stage lights and began blasting out old Chuck Berry rock and roll song, Johnny, Be Good. Ah, that's one Marty McFly made up, as opposed to me. My name's Dune, a.k.a. Shardy McFly. They sounded great and they looked great. Marissa's dress sparkled in the light. They had worked out dance moves, and they all danced and moved as they played. We should have thought of that, I told myself, glumly, watching from the side of the stage. When we play, the three of us just stand around, like geeks. The kids in the auditorium went crazy. They all jumped to their feet and began clapping along and moving and dancing. They stayed on their feet for all four of the Shouters' songs. Each song came louder and faster than the last. The old auditorium rocked and shook so hard, I thought the floor might cave in then. As Howie and Marissa and the others took their bows, the auditorium erupted in wild cheers and shouts of "More! More! More!" I'm assuming that Jay Moore was actually the MC the whole night, and they didn't actually want to hear more of Howie and his stupid-ass band. So Howie and the Shouters did two more songs, unaware that Jay Moore was hosting. Jared, Christina, and I kept casting tense glances at each other as they played. This wasn't doing a whole lot for our confidence. Finally, Howie and Marissa took several more bows and ran off stage, waving their fists high above their heads in triumph. Your turn, Howie called to me as he ran past. He grinned. Hey, Larry, where's the rest of your band? I started to reply angry, but Jared gave me a hard shove, and the three of us moved uncertainly to the stage. I bent down and plugged in my guitar to the amp. Jared worked quickly to adjust the sound level on his little, tiny, baby diarrhea keyboard. Howie's giant keyboard had been pushed to the back of the stage. It seemed to stare at us, reminding us how good and loud the Shouters had sounded. Christina stood tensely at the microphone, her arms crossed in front of her t-shirt. I played a few chords, testing the level of the amp. My hands felt cold and sweaty. I needed a drink. They slipped over the strings. The audience was talking and laughing, restless, waiting for us to start. Dude needs to burp. Dune burped. Are we ready? I whispered to Jared and Christina. Let's do I Want to Hold Your Hand first, then go into a Rolling Stones song. They nodded. I took a deep breath and steadied my hands on my guitar. Jared leaned over the keyboard. Christina uncrossed her arms and stepped to the microphone, jamming both hands into her jeans pockets. We started the Beatles song, despite the fact that we were not playing ASCAP royalties, even though we were playing in front of a crowd, which means we have to pay ASCAP royalties. Shaking a fist, all three of us sang on this one. Shaky at first, sorry. And the harmony was off. My guitar was too loud. It was drowning out our voices. I wanted to stop and turn it down, but of course I couldn't. The audience sat quietly, listening. They didn't jump to their feet and start dancing. They applauded loudly as we finished the song. But it was a polite applause. No loud cheering. No real enthusiasm. At least we got through it, I told myself, wiping my sweaty hands on my jeans legs. I stepped forward as we started the Rolling Stones song. I had a really long guitar solo in this number. I was praying I didn't mess up. I nodded to Jared and Christina. Christina grabbed the floor microphone with both hands, leaning close to it. Jared started the song on the keyboard. I started my solo. Badly. I messed up the first chords. What kind of solo has chords? My heart started to thump. My mouth was suddenly too dry to swallow. I closed my eyes and tried to shut out everything, tried to concentrate my fingers on the music. As I played, the audience started to cheer. A few shouts at first, some scattered applause, but then the cheering grew louder and louder. Happily, I opened my eyes. Several kids were on their feet, shouting and laughing. I bent to my knees and let my fingers move over the frets, the pick moving automatically now over the strings. I was starting to feel good, really good. The cheers grew louder. I realized that several kids were pointing at me. Uh-oh. What's going on? I wondered. All of a sudden, I knew that something was wrong. The cheers were too loud. The laughter was too loud. The kids were jumping up and down, pointing fingers at me. Great special effects! I heard an asshole shout from the front row. Yeah, great special effects! Huh? I thought, what special effects? It didn't take me long to figure it out. As Christina started to sing, I reached my hand up and rubbed it over my face. I cried out in horror. I felt the stiff, prickly hair. My face was covered in it. My chin, my cheeks, my pussy and my crack, my forehead. Dear God, I regret saying that. The thick black hair had sprouted over my entire face. The entire school was staring at it. I still regret saying that. Staring at me. The whole school knew my horrible, embarrassing secret. My whole problem is that I'm a creature of habit and I make plans for myself, and like, even if I have plenty of time left in the day and someone says to me, like, hey, you want to do something? I'll be like, fuck, I wasn't planning this. And you want me to do it right now? Oh, God, I'm not in the right mindset. And that's how I was recording this, where I wasn't expecting to spend an extra fucking hour driving home. And I'm like, I need to fucking do this because I said I'm going to fucking do it to myself. So the point is, final stretch. I'm sorry, Kevin. I'll PayPal you fucking, I was going to say $13, but I'm definitely not PayPal on that. You own a house and shit. PayPal $275.
Chapter number 25.
We won. We won. Dune adjusted the microphone. I heard Jared and Christina shouting gleefully behind me, but I set my guitar on stage 4, turned away from them, and started to run. The kids in the auditorium were still shouting and cheering. We had won the contest because of my amazing hairy transformation. Great special effects! That asshole had shouted. The special effects had won the day, but I wasn't feeling like a winner. I felt like an ugly freak! The girlfriend and I just watched the episode of The X-Files, which we're going through together, where they're at, like, the people that are, like, freak show people. And the guy's, like, unborn fetal twin almost killing people. Point is, that's fucked up to watch before you go to sleep when you're all intoxicated, because that'll ruin your dreams. The bushy hair had covered my face, then spread down to my neck and my shoulders. Both hands were covered in bristly fur, and I could feel it growing up my arms. My back began to itch. Was it growing on my back, too? Yeah, it sucks, but yeah. Hey, Larry! Larry! I heard Christina and Jared calling. The trophy! Come get your trophy! But I was out that fucking stage door. The wild cheers of the audience ringing in my ears. Out the back door of the school into a chilly gray afternoon. Dark clouds rose over the trees. Running now. Running blindly, my heart thudding. Running home covered in thick black fur. Running in panic and shame and fear! The houses and trees passed in a gray blur. As I turned up my driveway, I saw Mom and Dad back by the garage. They both turned to me, surprise on their faces. Look at me! I shouted. Look! My voice burst out, hoarse and terrified. Now do you believe me? They gaped at me, their mouths wide open in shock and horror. I held my hands up so they could see my arms. Do you see my face? I wailed. See my arms, my hands. They both gasped. My mom grabbed Dad's arm. Now do you believe me? I cried. Now do you believe that the Instatan lotion makes hair grow? I stood staring at them, my chest heaving, panting loudly, tears in my eyes. I stood waiting, waiting for them to say something. Finally, my mom broke the silence. Larry, It wasn't the tanning lotion, she said softly, holding tightly onto Dad. We tried to keep it from you, but we can't any longer.
Huh? Keep what from me?
I demanded. They exchanged glances. Mom let out a sob. Dad slipped his arm around her.
It isn't the tanning lotion, Dad said in a trembling voice.
Larry, you have to know the truth now. You're growing all the hair because you're not a human. You're a dog.
Wow, that's the end of the chapter, but I hope that's what happened with Franklin, because he's my little man. I love you, Professor Franklin. You are the diamond of my heart, the miracle of my soul. You're the emerald of perfection, the diamond of my heart.
Only Nick's gonna appreciate that song. Chapter 26. I bent down and lapped up some water from the plastic bowl Mom and Dad put in the front stoop for me. It's so hard to drink without splashing water all over my snout. Then I bounded down the steps on all fours and joined Lily over by the evergreen shrubs. We sniffed the shrubs for a while. Then we loped off to the next yard to see if there was anything interesting to sniff. It's been 2 weeks since my human body vanished, and I turned back into my real dog identity. Luckily, before I changed back, Mom and Dad, or should I say, Mr. and Mrs. Boyd, were nice enough to explain to me what had happened. They work for Dr. Merkin, you see. In fact, everyone in town works for Dr. Merkin. The whole town is kind of an experimental test lab. A few years ago, Dr. Merkin found a way to change dogs into children. He discovered a serum that made us dogs look and think and act like people. That's what my shots were. He gave me fresh serum every 2 weeks. But after a while, the serum doesn't work anymore. It wears off, and the children go back to being dogs. Dr. Merkin has decided to stop testing the serum on dogs, Mom told me. It just doesn't work. It causes the families too much pain, and when the children turn back into dogs... He's never going to work with dogs again, Dad explained. The serum just doesn't last long enough with dogs, so no more dogs. It was nice of the boys to explain to me what had happened. I felt so grateful. I licked their hands. Then I ran off to find Lily and show her that I was the dog, too. Lily and I roamed around together all the time. Sometimes Manny joined us. There are so many dogs roaming around in this town, I guess they all were human for a while. I'm glad Dr. Merkin isn't using dogs for his tests anymore. Dogs should be dogs, in my humble opinion. Lily and I found some good dirt to sniff in the neighbor's flower garden. There aren't any flowers to dig up yet, but the dirt smells really great. Then I saw the Boyd's car roll up the driveway. They'd been gone all afternoon. I went running up eagerly to the car, wagging my tail happily. I jumped up and barked out a greeting. To my surprise, Mrs. Boyd was carrying a baby, a tiny baby, slightly wrapped in pink blankets. She held the baby in both arms and carried it carefully up the walk toward the house. Mr. Boyd had a big smile on his face as he caught up to her. What a good little girl, Mr. Boyd cooed to the baby. Yes, you are. You're a good little girl. Welcome to your new home, Jasper. Huh? I thought. Isn't Jasper a funny name for a little girl? Then I stared up the baby and saw her bright yellow eyes. For the first time, this is like episode close to 70 of Dan Reed's Goosebumps. It's actually the first time I actually got chills at the end. I really appreciated that. I'm going to grab a dog and a cat to talk about this ending really quick before I do the Comments Online podcast.
Franklin, can you come here? And Yodi. Scarlet's not around. Come here, Yodi.
Okay, I have Yoda on my lap, and I have Franklin on my lap. Yoda is a sphinx cat, that means he's hairless, and he's a chubby guy, he looks like a turkey. Hi, Yodi, and this is Franklin. Say hi, Franklin. So what'd you think of that book? Oh, thank you for the kiss, Franklin. Would you guys like to be turned into people? People get to eat people food all the time, but they have to work. Working sucks. Sometimes they get a little bummed out. What do you guys think? You have no thoughts on it. All right, Franklin left, and Yodi followed. Well, I just want to make clear that getting the pet's perspective at the end of the show is not going to be a common thing. They're kind of assholes. They don't have much to say. I think that Franklin would not be into it because he doesn't like leaving the house. But Yodi would enjoy it. Or Yoda. His name's Yoda, but I call him Yodi. Everyone calls him Yodi. He's just a little angel. So yeah. Yeah. Pets not into being transformed into humans. They like not working. They like the fact that I pick up their shit. And most of all, they like staying spooky, bitches.